good friend of the show, Cassie Smedley. She is with the RNC, spokesperson for the RNC. She's at, let's see, I had her Twitter feed up here a second ago. There she is, CM Smedley on Twitter. Cassie, great to talk to you again. I'm filling in for Annie Fry today, so welcome to the Annie Fry Show.
Hey, Tim, I love it. I get to start and end my week with you.
You know what, Cassie, I cannot believe we're still in the same week, but you're right. I just spoke with you on Sunday, and it feels like it was, our weeks are so, you know, long days, short weeks, right? So,
exactly.
So here we are.
Exactly,
so, Cassie, right. I thought you'd enjoy my little montage there.
I loved it. I think it should be the new show opener.
Yeah, so, Cassie, so how is it that the left and the DNC and the Dems can talk out of both sides of their mouth on the economy? You know, on one hand, it's Donald Trump is allegedly unhinged and he's unstable. And, you know, you got all these books that came out and the anonymous op-ed writer in the White House, and he's so dangerous to American society. On the other hand, he has put in policies that have caused things like manufacturing jobs to come back, like the fact that we have record job openings in this country and not enough workers to fill them, record low unemployment across all the classes. So, Cassie, is it because the media is just their constant mouthpiece and henchman every single day?
That's right. They just think they can get away with it and that we're not paying that close of attention to all the different sides that of their mouths and of the coin that they're talking about. But my favorite thing about Obama trying to take credit for President Trump's great economy is that this economy is happening because President Trump has dismantled every possible piece of President Obama's legacy that was for so long hamstringing our economy and hamstringing so many of our fellow Americans. You know, he says, oh, I started that economy. No, you didn't. We deregulated. We cut taxes. We brought jobs back, incentivized job creation. That's all President Trump. You cannot claim, you can't take credit for that, as he would say, you didn't build that. President Trump did.
Yeah, Cassie, it's true, right? I mean, how can we call this the vestiges or the leftovers of the Obama economy when President Trump and his team have literally made epic changes to certain parts of parts of our government and our economy? Could you've touched on some of them. Could you further explain, you know, what there were some major things that the Trump administration has done that Obama can simply not claim?
Right. Well, if you start at, you know, there's that picture that always stands out in my mind of the regulations, the register of regulations in our country under President Obama is taller than President Trump. And so you're thinking almost 7 feet tall worth of regulations stacked up on pieces of paper. And we thought it was impossible to get rid of one regulation under President Obama. And President Trump said, for every new regulation, you got to cut two. And at the end of his first year in office, he had cut 22 regulations for every new regulation. So that right there, just imagine everything from community banks to farmers, agriculture, a huge benefactor of those deregulations, that at every turn and in every facet of our economy and our communities, somebody is feeling a little freer to invest back in their business, invest in their community, take a chance on entrepreneurs in a way that they couldn't under the Obama administration. I think that's huge.
Yeah, and Cassie, that is a major thing that the media, I never hear anybody except on Fox or Fox Business. The other networks, cable network, they never discuss that. And when a conservative commentator happens to, you know, squirm their way into one of these roundtable talk shows on tragedy TV, as I like to call it, it's like everybody looks at them with a blank stare and is like, well, what are you talking about? You know, they've never met a regulation they didn't love, but that was a huge part of the beginning of the Trump boom, wasn't it?
Absolutely, and incredible that the president empowered his cabinet and all of these agencies to say, go forth and slash government regulation. See what you can get rid of and let me know what you come back with. And that just tells you how out of control it was, that when 2-for-1 seemed like a lofty goal and they came back with 22-to-1, that's just crazy. And, you know, you talk about, I love the tragedy TV, you talk about that. That's what all of us out here in regular America are scratching our heads, because what they yell about on cable TV all day long is so counter to what we're feeling in our communities. We're saying, no, we feel pretty good about how things are going, or I'm enjoying my extra bucks in my pocket because of that tax cut, or I appreciate that we've got a new store opening, or this company's hiring again after people thought they were going to go out of business. All of those things run counter to the narrative that Democrats Obama included, and cable TV try and run all day, every day. And that's a problem for Democrats, I think, out on the trail, but also for our part, and in particular here at the RNC, we have the issue of making sure people know exactly why they're feeling better about things. And that's because you have a president and Republicans in Congress who are fighting for you. And that's why November 6th is so important. You cannot stay home. All of this is not by accident.
Absolutely.
Because we know what happens if Democrats get back in control. They're going to muck up our system, jam it up, either with bogus impeachment efforts, or they're going to pile those regulations back on. They can't wait to raise our taxes. They can't wait to regulate our small businesses and farmers. And we cannot let that happen.
Speaking to Cassie Smedley, she's the national press secretary for the GOP. She also happens to hail from right here in the Show Me State. She's a Kansas City gal, as she says on her Twitter feed. Cassie, the 1-2 lift was the regulatory burden ease, which started this economic, this Trump boom. It was followed up by something you just referenced, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. Talk for a minute about how another thing that the media loves to ignore, except for, again, on Fox News, Fox Business, and stations like 97.1, you just don't hear about it. But that has been a tremendous lift for Main Street USA, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And I love how you put it, the 1-2 punch. First, we opened up a good an environment for businesses to grow again and invest in research and all of those great things. And then you went to the consumer side, and I should note that the House just put together their Tax Cuts 2.0, which is making both the corporate and the personal tax cuts permanent. It was, if you remember, it was just corporate initially to get it passed, and now it's making those personal tax cuts permanent.
Right.
That's huge. And we said, now we're going to put some more of our hard-earned money, let us keep it, and let's see what folks do with it when the government isn't making that decision for you of how to spend your money, right? And what did they do? They went out and they shopped. They went out and they took their families to dinner. Or maybe they planned that vacation that they haven't been able to take in several years because you weren't certain what the economic circumstances were going to be for your family and for your job. And then on top of that, what I really love, and we haven't seen these headlines as much recently, but for a while you were getting multiple a day, is that businesses wanted to get in on the act too. They started giving their employees raises, or they started hiring more, or bonuses. And all of that happened not because the government told them to do it, because they realized that if you had more people in the workforce was going to get more competitive, and they wanted to hang on to those good employees.
Those are
free market example.
Yeah, two huge items right there that are polar opposites of the Obama administration versus the Trump. The Obama administration added thousands and tens of thousands of regulations every single month, every single year. Trump reduced and eliminated them. Obama increased taxes through Obamacare and other mechanisms. Donald Trump has eliminated and lowered taxes. And Cassie, I'm heading out on a tour next week. We've been working with a group called the Job Creators Network. I know the CEO, Alfredo Ortiz, has been to the White House and spoken with the president, the vice president, about this. We're going to Main Street USA. And Cassie, I hear the same stories. Businesses are hiring people, raising wages. They're building more things. That's why unemployment is at historic lows. Here in Missouri, it's 3.4%. What I wanted to ask you about that was the fact that the opposite would happen, right? The Democrats are already threatening to take away all those what they call crumbs from workers. And we saw two huge stories this week that are largely, again, ignored by the media. Highest median income for middle class American workers ever in our history. And wages are rising, too, aren't they?
Yes, you got it. And I wanted to share with you an anecdotal point. It's not in Missouri, but I also spent a lot of time in Wisconsin. And I was listening to Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker recently. Actually, he was talking about the Foxconn groundbreaking. If you remember that, they added 12,000 jobs in Wisconsin. And he's saying, we're having to recruit from Minnesota and Illinois because we don't have enough people looking for work in Wisconsin.
Wow.
Because they, too, like Missouri, have a 3% or below unemployment rate. And I want to note something really interesting about those states, Minnesota and Illinois. Do you know who they're run by? Democrats. And they've got people fleeing to these red states. There is a reason that Republican principles work and people like them. And again, just because we are getting close to 50 days out from Election Day, and this is my job to make sure people know to go out and vote, If you like the good news, if you like the feeling that your family is feeling secure financially right now, go vote on November 6th, because this doesn't happen by coincidence. This happens when you have good conservatives pushing good conservative policies and principles.
So, Cassie, talking about someone who has got a tough decision to make as far as voting, Claire McCaskill seems to come out with a different statement every day, depending on which way the political winds are blowing, about whether she's going to support Judge Kavanaugh. As in her own words, I think this week she said he's eminently qualified. She said as far as qualifications, he's eminently qualified. But then she makes other statements wondering if this is the right political winner. She used those words, if it's a political winner for her or not. And she's doubting that it is. So what is a Claire McCaskill, a red state Democrat? There's several of them out there. What are they to do in an environment where their states just voted for, in record numbers, President Donald Trump?
That's right. And a lot of those Democrats voted for Donald Trump. Here's the thing. Us Missourians, we've known Claire McCaskill for a long time. Here's what we know. She does what is politically opportunistic. But since she's been in the Senate, those 5 years where she's not running for re-election, she's absent. She spends more time on the West Coast fundraising and the East Coast in an MSNBC studio. And she does not spend that time in Missouri. Not St. Louis, not Kansas City. We're talking about in all the other towns across our great state. She's absent. And her votes reflect that. They do not reflect the will and the needs of Missourians. And so while she's pretty good at turning the charm on when you've got an election 50 or so days away, we know how she behaves. We've known her long enough to know that. We also know that we have an awesome opponent, Josh Hawley.
Yes, he is.
And he's on our side. He's been working for our state. He's a lifelong Missourian. He comes from a town not St. Louis, not Kansas City, although, of course, soft spot in my heart for those towns. And he understands the will and the needs, and he's going to fight for those. He's not going to do whatever is politically expedient or opportunistic. We know Claire's record. Her record is, just as you said, politically opportunistic.
The last thing I want to ask you about Judge Kavanaugh, Cassie, I'm up. Katie's giving me the rap sign here, but I want to ask you about this because it just came out yesterday. What is the deal with Barbara Boxer threatening the Senate Judiciary Committee with some letter that she's had about Judge Kavanaugh, apparently for several months, and saying that this causes her great concern, and apparently has something to do with when he was in high school? I mean, what won't they do to stop this eminently qualified jurist?
Right. And it's Dianne Feinstein, who, you know, is the ranking member of the committee. And it's just one word, desperation, because she says, oh, I've got this letter. I'm not going to tell you what's in it, but I'm going to refer it to the FBI. But I'm not going to tell you why that's necessary. It is desperate. If she's had it for as long as she says she has, and it's got anything to it, why didn't she bring it up in her questioning? Instead, what she said was, very nice job. Thanks so much for coming today. She was perfectly pleasant to him. And in fact, was much to the dismay of the far left that she's up against in her reelect, she was widely heralded for bringing some civility on her side of the aisle that so many of her other colleagues did not afford Judge Kavanaugh. And so here she is in this 11th hour last-ditch effort to try and sideline this confirmation process. It won't work. He will be confirmed. He is eminently qualified, and he proved that to the committee and the country during his televised confirmation hearing process. But it just goes to show what we've got with Democrats in 2018, desperation.
Cassie, you still feeling confident that Judge Kavanaugh will be Justice Kavanaugh by the beginning of October and sitting on the Supreme Court?
Incredibly confident. I can't wait to see that
awesome
picture of them in October with all their robes on.
That is fantastic. Been speaking to Cassie Smedley. She is national spokesperson for the RNC. Follow her at CM Smedley on Twitter. Cassie, I will bet you and I will talk in the very near future again. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
I can't wait. Have a good weekend.
Hey, thanks. You too.